The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Welcome to My Brother and Me, an advice show for the modern era. But today, in recognition of our musical brothers who have been left out of the Grammy Awards today, we are going to be honoring, for the majority of today's show, we are going to be picking up the categories that they let go of.
Travis, who took home the Best New Zydeco of the Fourth Quarter Award?
It was Zydeco Jones.
Zydeco Jones. I loved his second album, which was titled
Movement in Zydeco.
You are bad at this. Some of my top Zydeco acts are I loved the Louisiana Creoles.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. This year were great.
What about the Creole Opry? I like that one.
I like the Zydeco Sisters.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty good. I like Mojo Johnson and his Timbuktu twins.
Mm-hmm.
I love. They had a great year with. They came out with a Cupid Shuffle and Lil Bootsy
and Three Accordions, One Dream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really good. They're out of Port Arthur, Texas, if I remember correctly. They got together while working in an oil refinery.
Mm-hmm.
They studied under Clifton Chenier, who of course is regarded in most circles as the king of Zydeco.
Mm-hmm.
I am gonna miss the Zydeco polka that Weird Al always treats us to every year, combining all the winners into one. We're going to let go. This year the Grammys let go of Best Zydeco, Best Tejano Album. That seems poorly timed, as we are now largely a Hispanic nation. And a Cajun Music Album, out. Best Contemporary Folk, out.
It seems awful bold and brassy of them to just be like, nobody cares.
Get out of here, Zydeco. Nobody wants you. Maybe
that's not real music.
If Katy Perry did Zydeco, then maybe it would be the worst thing that anyone could ever hear.
Maybe it would be unlistenable.
It's not even like we're going to announce these, like, you know, awards given earlier. Like, we're just not going to do them.
I think it was. I can't believe that they boxed out Best Gregorian Chant 2011.
Yeah,
they got tired of Nickel Creek winning it every single
time. How about best band with Nickel in it?
Best band with Nickel in it. Nickelback.
Creek.
Nickel Creek.
Nichols Jones, who is another
Tommy Nichols and the 2 Cents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Jack Nicklaus.
Yep.
Golden Bear. Golden Bear sings the Golden Hits. Hey, I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middleest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm your baby brother, Griffin McElroy.
We're actually an advice show in addition to a Zydeco fan cast. So let's get into the actual advice, and we'll circle back around to more Zydeco chat. I'm a 22-year-old girl. I've recently broken up with my long-term boyfriend. We dated since we were in high school. We broke up 2 months ago. Our anniversary would have been on Monday, February 13th, the day before Valentine's Day. Do you have any sagely advice for what a newly single girl can do on her not-iversary? That's from new to the not-iversary.
Do you know what? The problem is you're calling it a not-iversary instead of what it really is, which is Monday.
That is the truth. You are making a fake. The days are the pits. Any day, if it is a day other than, no one's ever said I had an unexpectedly good St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Every holiday is always either a letdown or on par. But you can have an unexpectedly good Monday. Like, I don't know.
Nah.
Kind of worked out. I went to the Thai house, saw that For the Love of the Game came on cable. It was a pretty good Monday. You can't top a not-iversary, though.
How do you turn a not-iversary into a fucking full-blown rage?
I guess you see, if it were me, it would start with buying myself an ice cream cake.
Yeah.
And then end with eating that ice cream cake.
Yeah.
Maybe you should be celebrating your freedom. Maybe this is a Libertiversary or something. Because you're out there looking on the prowl again, on the hunt. Sharks can't stay still because they will drown in some of the plankton in there, in the ocean. So sharks got to move.
The krill. The krill is so thick.
You got to shake the krill out your gills. It's 20 dozen.
Shake the krill out them grills. Krills.
Shake your gills. Shake the krill out bare gills.
Shake Gilly from Saturday Night Live. Krills.
Krilly.
Krill.
Get out there and krill it.
Krill-ish.
Shake the krill out them gills and get to sharking again. Mm-hmm. You got to get out there and start swimming forward. Mm-hmm. You can't stop. It's time for a new boy. All boys done. Dunsky over. He's in the rear view.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now that you said that, I'm going to throw out a term that you've just inspired me to, Justin. Feeding frenzy.
Oh, my God.
Frenzy. How do you turn a not-aversary into a feeding frenzy? You are three gobbles away. Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Sharpen up the teeth. Get out there.
Get your pack of ladies together.
Oh, all the single ladies.
Mm-hmm. All the single ladies.
Make a shark pack, a murder of sharks.
Yeah.
Just shark pack it. Get out to the club. You want to hook up before midnight, though, because at midnight you're still single. You're just a lonely heart. But right now, you're a motivated seller.
And maybe just crush some hearts.
Oh, you know? Take them. Yeah.
Get the free drinks, bat your eyelashes, and then laugh in their face.
And then bite them. Bite them and their surfboard. Bite their surfboard and their legs.
What's the problem, officer? He looked like a seal.
Knock, knock, knock.
I'm in a feeding frenzy. There was a drop of blood in the bar. I could smell it a mile away.
If you go on a feeding frenzy, though, you gotta be safe and protect it.
Yeah.
And the cop will be like, oh yeah, feeding frenzy. I heard about that on my brother and me. Travis was trying to get it started. Feeding frenzy. It's a thing I heard.
Move along.
Go on ahead. I'm pretty drunk.
It's also my not-aversary.
My not-aversary from sobriety. Sorry. I'm a cop. You're under arrest. I think those are our many good suggestions. You're welcome. All this is, of course, coming back to taking a bite of the recovery sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to get back out there. And normally it wouldn't be time, but it's cold. Mm-hmm. It's cold outside. You don't want to be alone.
I don't know. I don't know how people do it, you know? Sand snuggles. It's the body's most natural way of heating itself.
Yeah. Yesterday there was a strange sex marathon on Nat Geo. You really telling me you want to watch that alone? You can handle that?
Nat Geo is like, check out these freaks.
Nat Geo is so dope. Okay, here's the lineup on Nat Geo. First, Doomsday Preppers. Great. Where people get ready for the Doomsday and you watch them and you are happy you're not them. They got undercover.
Well, you're happy that you're not them now, until fucking Quetzalcoatl rears his head out of a dormant volcano.
Until they become like the Duke of Las Cruces.
Yeah, number one.
Yeah, I'm the king. And then they got Undercover Princes. They got that. They're crushing it with that.
Is that like the Disney film?
No, there's like, I mean, it is similar to the plot of a Disney film. These princes want a lady who wants them for them, so they shuck their finery and they get out there and try to meet someone based on their own fairly limited skill set.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Of nothing. And this is all on Nat Geo just waiting for you.
Nat Geo sounds like their shit is just really messed up.
But then you said Nat Geo has a show about, like,
boning?
Fisting.
Whoa!
This is going to sound like I'm fucking with you. I watched an episode of Strange Sex yesterday about a man whose his penis went missing. He couldn't find his penis. He had an inverted penis.
Wait.
Man.
Whoa.
And it's because he's had such a chub down there. And he said, and he actually uttered the line, I realized for the first time in 15 years, I looked down and I could see my genitals.
How is that a
genitals?
How's that a shock? How's that not like a daily like affirmation? Like, what? Yep, still there. How does your penis go missing?
It went inside, back inside of him because of the panis there. There's so much chub in that region.
Oh, basically like his pubis.
His pubis swelled to the point where his penis inverted.
Wow, we've just lost every single person that has ever.
All right, let's talk about secrets now, because we're the only people under the thrall of our voices. Did his
social security number?
His penis see a ghost?
His penis saw its shadow. Six more weeks of sleeping on the couch, Daryl. Griffin, why don't you rescue us with a Yahoo?
Sure, I'll pull us out of this. As penis,
like a penis. Pull it out like an inverted penis, Griffin. You could do it.
This one was sent in by Lisa Holifield. Thank you, Lisa. It's by Yahoo Answers user David McMillan, who asks, "Is it wrong to call a woman handsome?" I sort of got in trouble for this the other day, but I defended myself. Some women could just be described as handsome. It doesn't mean that they are a lesbian. It just means that they are not exactly feminine looking, but they are still attractive. Does anyone know what I mean here? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen, I guess. Is the woman a horse? Because that's cool.
There are, I would say, few objects on this planet that I would reserve the word handsome for. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Like a saddle?
A saddle those are some handsome slacks. Something like that.
Like that's handsome a pair. Handsome flower arrangement.
But I just don't think it.
Sybil Shepherd is a handsome woman.
That's a good point, Travis.
Kathy Bates is a handsome woman.
Well, let's not go crazy.
But what you're saying is that like, hey, you got kind of a Sybil Shepherd thing going on. Mm-hmm. That's
I don't think in any way it's a compliment.
Well, it does. It kind of makes her sound like a dame, right? Like a handsome broad.
I like your getaway sticks, you handsome broad.
Is Maggie Smith handsome?
Yeah, Maggie Smith is handsome.
No, she is like a some sort of sea creature. She's not a handsome woman. Like, who's a handsome woman? Still, Diane Keaton is a handsome woman.
I still don't understand the distinction, because I would say that she's just.
I think it's like saying my granddad would probably want to hit it.
Yeah,
I think that's what handsome woman means, right?
It means like she has like moxie, she has spunk.
No, it's like you can appreciate what's going on there. It's just not for you.
You know how sometimes like old people say like, if I were 20 years younger. I think saying something, someone is a handsome woman, is saying, like, if I were 20 years older,
yeah, I would hit that. I think that's true.
That's horrible, though.
Yeah.
I know. I don't know why you would say it to somebody.
It's a terrible thing to say about anyone.
Yeah, it's not a nice thing to say about a woman. Although, I mean, like, is it?
If Sybil Shepherd is listening, I meant it as a compliment.
Simon Shepherd. Loved you on Sybil.
Sibby, you know I love you. I didn't mean it.
Sibs.
Travis, if somebody said you were pretty...
I'd take that as a compliment.
That would treat you. That would treat you well.
Yeah,
I'd take pretty.
If someone said like, "Well, there's a beautiful man," like
they didn't say beautiful though. They said pretty.
There's a pretty man. Well, I do have my foppish ways about me.
Can we make all like pleasant adjectives totally asexual?
Just like that is like an attractive person.
Well, or we can just say that anything can be handsome, anything can be pretty. What lovely. About Lusha? Justin, you...
Lovely?
I haven't told you this lately, but you are just lovely. You are divine.
Now, lovely and divine sounds like something you'd say, like, about your best friend who everybody thinks is gay but really isn't gay.
Yeah,
but isn't
he's a lovely person.
What if
he's a lovely person?
Travis, you are shapely. Have I told you that lately?
Thank you, Griffin. Griffin, I think you are pulchritudinous.
Okay, Travis.
What does that mean?
You know what? You're
pretty.
You're painterly, I think.
You're symmetrical. Painterly.
Okay.
That's good.
But that's now we're talking like robot.
Yeah. Superlatives. If you say somebody has very Roman features, I think that's good, because that is a nice way of saying like you don't look nice, but maybe like a million years ago back in Rome.
Mm-hmm. Comely or homely? Which one's the compliment and which one's offensive?
Did you say comely?
A comely wench.
I think you mean comely, sir.
Excuse me? How did you pronounce it? You said it like it was dirty.
Griffin, I need a ruling. Is it comely or comely?
Both are bad.
Don't Google it. I need to know this for real.
I try to excise that word from as many other larger words as I possibly can, so I'm going to go comely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Justin, if it makes you feel better, I'm willing to say that someone is a humly wench.
That does not make me feel better at all. Okay. I think there is a certain class of words you use to describe female attractive appearance that you can only use if you're wearing like a black trench coat and have a few swords at home. Like I think
if you wear a fedora actively, then that's
right.
On purpose.
Yeah.
If someone's ever said, "Hey, I can see your vest bulge underneath your black trench coat," then you can probably use words like comely.
Are those new steampunk goggles?
Those are lovely.
Those are divine.
I had them polished just for you, Christine. Please leave your boyfriend. Please go to Subway with me.
Who are these people who are complimenting people on the street?
It's me.
Hey, it's handsome stuff.
I like what all you got there.
Mm.
Hey, handsome stuff. You want to buy me a bus ticket? I like what you're working with. There, Tex. I think handsome could be misconstrued.
It just always seems like it's used as a euphemism. Like, I've never heard someone say it in a convincing way.
I've never heard, nobody's ever called me handsome without the words little guy following it. and usually in the interrogative, who's my handsome little guy? ?
I've never had it handsome unless it was followed by in context, which I
can't. Mine's usually followed with comparatively.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the right light.
I guess.
For you. I think though I would steer clear of handsome. I'm not sure you're gonna win that particular.
It won't play.
Yeah,
that ball don't got legs.
It don't track. hey, I'm looking to buy a diamond engagement ring. I would like to get one with a diamond close to 1 carat, but a good one that size is currently out of my price range. You have any tips on getting a better price or what channels I should go through to get a better deal? That's from Engaged in Edmonton. Travis, when you choose these questions...
What the fuck?
What about me and Griffin makes you think, I bet those guys got a good line on a diamond?
Well, I figured that with your extensive trading in blood diamonds, you'd be able to like hook him up with something.
Steal? I guess theft? What the fuck do you... I want the nice thing, but I don't want to pay money to do it. You mine it out of the ground and you kill... You kill and take.
You would like to get one with close to 1 carat, mm-hmm. but you can't afford that. Well, let me help you. You don't get that
get
big.
Get a smaller one?
Maybe go smaller. Maybe you're the real prize.
All I know, maybe, I don't. Do you ever think about that? I just know I know a little bit about purchasing things. I know how to acquire things with money. So in that sense, I guess I have a little bit of expertise here. If you don't have the money for the thing, then you can't get the thing. That's the problem with it. Unless you get an apprenticeship at the jeweler.
That's good. Are you talking about a heist?
No, I was talking about working for it.
Let's go with heist.
Okay. Diamond heist.
Now you're speaking our language.
Can you do a coal, you press it down?
Superman?
No, is that a power that Superman has?
He did it once or twice.
That seems kind of fucked up.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Okay. There's a pawn shop, right? You can do that? That's a thing, right?
Oh, you mean
can go on Pawn Stars.
Go on Pawn Stars and get one for cheap.
Go on Storage Wars.
And hope you find one in a storage unit. That could take a while, but, it's worth a shot.
Anybody else, when they hear Pawn Stars, they... think that it just sounds like a New Orleans Southern gentleman saying porn stars?
Porn stars.
this isn't very good.
Nah, it's not a very good goof. Kind of climaxed early, but I thought it was okay. I mean, girls don't really care about the size of diamonds.
If you're going with the size and you don't care about the clarity, you can get cheaper.
Oh, that sounded good, Charles. That sounded like a real thing.
You sound like a big, fat, muddy-ass diamond.
Yeah. If you're all right with some imperfections in the diamond, then you can get it for a lot cheaper.
I got you this ring pop. It's 450 carats.
Isn't your tower just the raunchiest,
murliest? The nastiest, gnarliest, most...
I want a diamond with a fly in the middle.
Yeah.
Excuse me, waiter.
I want a diamond that I can use to clone dinosaurs.
You idiot.
You're so dumb. I want a...
You're stupid. That don't make sense.
You guys are dumb.
You guys are both stupid.
This guy's dumb. I want a diamond the size of a can of soup. But I only have this many. How big a diamond for this many, please?
None. I wish he'd give me some hard numbers, though, because I bet I could get him a... I bet I can give him a better deal. Mm. You see that Priceline negotiator? Maybe he can help you out.
He's not a real man.
Priceline negotiator.
Yeah.
You go to their site, go to Priceline.com, say, I'm not going to pay a lot for this diamond.
Yeah.
And then you can pay any price you want.
Here's what you do. You call William Shatner. Mm-hmm. You tell him you need a diamond real bad.
Say, I'm flying from Edmonton to Engagement Town, and I need a hotel for life.
That'll probably work out.
This is dumb.
You're dumb.
So we don't know anything about this. Why do you ask us this?
Ask somebody better.
Maybe a different setting.
Did you think about a crown setting?
Maybe a different setting.
Hey, what about white gold?
So I guess in closing, sorry.
I guess sorry, in closing,
we're such idiots.
Ask somebody else better, or ask us.
Ask somebody better than us.
You either ask us about like farting in public, or you ask the Diamond Podcast. You ask Jared.com. About diamonds, because that's Jared's focal point.
Sometimes the best advice we can give is to tell someone that we're not the best.
Yeah, we're like Macy's in Miracle on 34th Street.
It's honestly so rare that we're able to make that distinction. I feel like we should really lean into it when it happens. Griffin,
how about it?
Give me somebody we can help.
Okay, here's a good one. This one was also sent in by Lisa Holifield. Thank you, Lisa. It's by Yahoo Answers user Ambi, who asks, I am trying to learn boxing, but basic problem is, when a punch is thrown at me, I close my eyes and don't block. Please tell me drills to do, because I really want to get over. It's probably fear, because of which I close my eyes.
Wow.
So he's got one... He punches really good.
Uh-huh. Right, the punches are
his
on
punches
point.
Are like trains with fists on the end of them. One prob right. though, one hang up though is that when he gets punched, he says no, 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 God. No, no, no.
And he puts the way he describes it in the question though, it makes it sound like he's really casual about it because he doesn't block. He's not ducking away. He just closes his eyes like and just stands there.
If you can't see the fists, then they can't punch you with them or something.
Maybe this should be his thing, right? Like. You, I don't know, man. I just kept swinging, and he would just close his eyes and take it. And
after like out, three or four, like, I felt bad.
I was intimidated, and I felt bad for him. What is he doing in there, the little crazy little dude?
I kept putting his hands up for him, and he would just drop them back down.
He looked like he was thinking really hard about how to punch me back, and that kind of cerebral maneuver is intimidating.
He had a strategy.
He's all up in my head, man.
Can you be a good boxer and take and not? I mean. Maybe he's trying to learn how to take punches.
So the solution is just have somebody punch you a lot until you're not afraid. Yeah. It's immersion therapy.
Oh, you don't want to fight against Callous Face Jones.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize that that's how you become a great boxer. If you can arc it so that you become immune to punching before you die.
Yeah.
It kills you because they punch something in your brain and break it.
The trick is to take enough punches so that you're not scared of punches anymore, but not too many punches so that you forget how to eat. So that you forget how to chew and swallow food.
That's why Rocky drinks eggs.
Yeah.
He forgot how to eat.
I just still don't want to. I took too many punches. I don't want to eat the chew and the chew. That's why I sound like I do when I talk. Hey. Hey. Yo, Ziggy.
That was Sly Stallone.
That was good, I thought.
Hey, guys, I want to take a punches.
Hey, boo-boo.
Hey, boo-boo, I like
a boxer.
I take a close my eyes.
I
take my eyes.
Boo-boo, I am the law.
Pretty good impression. Great. The important thing is not getting punched. I think maybe if you punch them more. What if they're too busy blocking your flurry of punches, they're not going to have time to punch you.
That's great.
They're going to be tuckered.
You're just one big, stupid glass cannon.
I would like to take this guy's story and turn it into, like, the next, like, Rudy, where, like, the guy goes into the coach, and he's like, I want to be the best boxer. Train me. And the coach is like, I see something in you. Let's do this. And they get in the ring, and the guy throws the punches. The coach is like, that was a great punch. Okay, now block. And the coach just, like, lays him out in the first punch.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, kid, you shouldn't box anymore.
And then Jon Favreau comes in the next day. He's like, hey, Rudy's dead. Yeah, he's dead. You punched him. You punched him a bunch, and he didn't block it. Closed his eyes, so at least he didn't see his death.
And he died.
So that was merciful, I guess.
It's gonna be a closed casket because he did get pretty.
Whoa! You punched the front of his face through the back of it.
Come on, coach. Let me be a boxer. I'll do anything to be a pro boxer. Will you block? I will not.
Will not do this one thing.
The one thing I will not do is block. Or open my eyes.
Do you dodge? Well, with my eyes closed, it is hard to see which way to dodge.
Can we agree, though, that, like, if you're going to get punched, like, you probably don't want your eyes open.
You're just there the whole time. Whoa.
They call him Cornea Jones. He punches them right in their open eyeball. Actually, that's what happens in some pro fights, is a person will get punched in their open eye, and they go, ow, wait, and they have to wait.
Time out.
It's the gentleman's rule of boxing.
Do you know when they cut people in the corners, what they're doing is cutting their eyelids off, so they have to keep their eyes out?
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that.
Why would they do that, though?
It's a harsh world.
It is a harsh world. They also have that thing where they run the dry erase marker over their face to get rid of some of the blood that's on there.
Yeah, and then they make them smell like a bucket full of spit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, smell how do they the do spit. That? I don't know. And it seems mean.
They fluff them a little bit. Just a little bit.
Hey, I have three best friends in my city. They're all guys. I'm a woman. One of these guys is also my boyfriend. My question is it normal and expected that they're all closer to each other than they are to me? I have girlfriends that I can talk to and spend time with independently of my other boyfriend, so it's not as if I have nowhere to go for advice and venting. The fact that you just asked us a question to the evidencing to that to the contrary, but we'll continue forward. I just wish I could go to my besties for that. What do you think? Am I expecting too much from my opposite sex friendships? That's from second favorite. This is her. Hold on, I gotta think about this one for a second.
I mean, I have my harsh reality opinion of it.
No, really?
I know, but I feel like, I mean, just based on these facts without any other details, I feel like there's a certain thing that happens, like, where if your friends are friends with your boyfriend, there's a certain amount that they probably have of just wanting to stay out of tricky relationship stuff altogether.
Yep.
Because they're his guy friends, you know? So it's a minefield for them.
I know that it rubs some people the wrong way when you assign any sort of gender attributes, and I'm not doing that. But
we did do that earlier in the episode with the word handsome.
Uh-huh. But that was different.
So we only get one pass per ep.
Candace Bergen is a handsome woman.
Sheesh.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of her earlier. I try to think of her often, but specifically
Murphy moment. Brown.
Handsome woman.
Is that a
talented, award-winning journalist? I think guys and girls can be friends with each other, and I think
sure.
I don't think that's a problem. But I think once you decided you're going to date one of them, you're going to date a guy, you have to accept that you are changing the dynamic. And part of that is when you have a problem with the guy, you can't, like, it's not going to be as cool for you to go to his friends to complain about it. It's just not a safe split. It's not a safe space anymore for relationship stuff. I don't mean everything, but I think if it's specific to him, Specific to your boyfriend, I think you got to go to other girls for that.
And I think that even in the most like chaste, purely friendship situation, whenever you enter into a relationship, friendships with the opposite sex become kind of just a little, you know, a little weirder in general, I think, on both sides, because of this idea of, like, I don't want to seem improper. It just, for some reason for me, it always got weird. Every time I've ever dated someone and also been friends with, you know, like, and hung out with women, it always just felt kind of weird.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to do with the fact that of genders. It has everything to do with the fact that they are friends mm-hmm. with your boyfriend. So they can't be impartial. They have loyalty to both of you. It doesn't make them a good sounding board. Yeah. I mean, even if you want to be friends with other guys, that's fine. Just it can't be guys that are also friends, you know, super close to your boyfriend, because they can't be objective. And they're going to feel weird about, you know, hearing these complaints and not being able to do anything about it.
Yeah.
That wasn't a very funny answer.
I just think you got it. I don't think it's sexist to say that every lady should have her shark pack and every dude should have his bro pack, right? Mm-hmm. Is that weird that sometimes you just seek out the company even briefly of one gender? I mean, I do that, and like my girlfriend does that, and all of my friends here in Austin have, like, there's ladies' night time and now there's dudes' night time. And is that...
I don't think... I think that's completely normal. I think that is healthy to have, you know, like, just... I'm not saying, like, you can't be friends with the opposite gender, but every so often you want to be like, hey, let's just, like, bro out, you know?
Yeah, or ladies...
Let's have a feeding frenzy,
ladies just want to feed, you know?
Yeah, they just want to unhinge your jaws and just eat men.
Whole.
I think you might be misinterpreting it. I don't think it's that they are closer to each other than they are to you, because I would fucking hope that your boyfriend's closer to you than he is to his bros. But I just think that it's sometimes they seek the solace of gentlemen.
It is hard though, and I know that you would like to be able to, talk to, you know, your other dude friends about it, but you just have to accept that goes with the territory. Once you start dating somebody and put that into the dynamic, you can't just turn that off because you'd like their advice. It's a different world now.
And I think that you also, it's a, you know, sticky situation, because we've also gotten questions from the other side where women have complained that they're, quote, just one of the guys, you know, and like the fact that they still see you as a woman and don't include you in their bro time is not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah. It's not as bad as saying bros a lot, which we happen to be doing. Mm. So we'll try to break that habit.
So he wants to go hang out with his broskies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if he's he wants broing to... out. And...
Yeah.
Is there a better word for men friends?
Like, dude pals?
Dude pals. Okay.
Dude buddies.
Dude air buddies. Air buddies. But it...
What about just buds with a Z, and you say it with a Z, and that's how you know that it's in reference to a man?
That's pretty much how I say it about drugs, though.
Yeah. Gentlemen callers.
Can our podcast now just be called Three Buds?
Buds.
Buds and out.
In my newspaper, there was a story about a guy who did a Mario mural for his kid, and they were quoting him about the Super Mario Brothers mm-hmm. game, and he said, I used to love that when I was a kid. Mario and Luigi were buddies.
No, they weren't.
That's cute. That's adorable, though. When adults...
It was actually... I would like to point out that they're never in the same place at the same time.
Yeah.
You don't even know that they enjoyed each other's company.
Hey, adults, when you say buddies, it's adorable. Keep it up.
Keep it up. You've earned it. You went without dying for lots of years, so you have earned the right to say buddies. Griffin,
mm-hmm.
you know what I've earned the right to do?
Be buddies with money buddies?
Be buddies with money buddies. And now here's a segment, Money Buddies. Boy, howdy, am I excited about this. We are launching a journey today. An epic poem that is really a partnership. between us and our new friend Eric Noreen, and his project, his product,
his fucking revolutionary, like, revolutionary, of course,
change
idea.
Your life, change your life. It's called Stack.
Prepare to kick yourself in your own ass for being so stupid for not coming up with this first.
You're going to get ready to be an idiot because you did not.
You've been an idiot your whole life. You didn't even know it. You stupid.
I want you guys to know that I really feel like you're talking directly to me.
You are a dumb shithead for not thinking of this product, you stupid asshole.
Stack is
a soap. Not helping.
And it is specially created. It's hard to describe the shape. You should probably just go to stacksoap.com and you'll see. But it's created in such a way with a sort of divot.
It's pringular.
It's got a pringular design with a divot at the top. You wash yourself with this Stack soap, and then you wear it down to the point that it fits perfectly into your next bar of Stack soap.
What?
The Stack soap, the divot has the word Stack in it. And, like, letters that stick out so that it adheres to the wet sliver of soap that you have remaining. And it forms a new bar of soap that you whittle down to another sliver and fit into the next thing of Stack soap.
I feel so stupid.
You dumb piece of shit.
Never have a soap sliver again. If you, here's the thing, though. We're trying to get this made. He's trying to get a copper mold. That's one of the last components he needs, but it's going to cost a little cheddar. It's going to cost $9,000, but we're all going to team up to get it made. So go to stacksoap.com and you will find a Kickstarter. If you get on board, the first 1,000 people can pledge what they want, and they're going to get 6 bars of Stack soap, whatever they think is fair. And that includes shipping. So don't go on. Just pledge a buck. But the first 1,000 people that do that are going to be able to pledge what they want for a bar of Stack soap.
Let's get on
6 bars.
Let's get on the offensive right now.
Right.
If you're using body wash, you are just moving your funk around.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're just moving the funk around. If you don't have a solid lye-based product, then you are as dumb as Travis is.
Yeah.
You gotta have
coming up a Stack.
A physical, tangible, solid, not a plasma. A solid-ass piece of soapy matter.
No matter how handsome you are,
mm-hmm.
if you're not using soap, you're an idiot.
You're a child. You're a dirty child. You're like
an idiot child.
You're like an idiot dirt child.
This is the infinite soap bar cycle, and you can get on board with it right now. Go.
This is like ground level. Like, you can get in on the first floor of this.
And go to stacksoap.com right now. We're going to be following this. This is going to be an effort between – it's a co-production of my brother, and me and the Maximum Fun Network.
February and a little bit of March is Get Yourself Clean Month with Stack Soap.
We don't have a jingle at this exact moment, Griffin.
I want to make it – this is the longest relationship we've ever had with a promotional partner. So when I turn it out, I want it to be like a – like a Coca-Cola theme song, you know? Coca-Cola, drink it all day and all night. You remember that one? That little ditty from the 40s?
That was classic.
They played it on their radio serials. Anyway, mm-hmm. when I turn this shit out, I want it to be like Space Jam 2. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Epic.
I want it to be in the Grammys.
I like you getting Garage Band and just lay down some tracks.
Oh, I've been laying down some loops, and I've got a few samba beats that I like. So we'll see. We'll see what turns up. But I promise, Stack Soap, the best jingle that they've ever heard.
So go to stacksoap.com. And while you're getting clean with your new Stack Soap, you can listen to another great podcast on the Maximum Fun Network, which you will hear about right now.
Hello there. My name's Graham Clark,
and I'm Dave Shumka,
and together we host a podcast called Stop Podcasting Yourself.
This is a file that you download from the internet and then you listen to it in your pod.
What's that about, you ask? Well, who are you to ask? Who do you think you are?
Yeah, get lost, bozo. We're a couple of stand-up comedians in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and every week we bring a guest on the show. Sometimes they're Canadian, sometimes they're not, sometimes they're a ghost.
It's like you're sitting in on a friendly afternoon chat.
Plus, we're Canadian, so you get a tax break. You can find us on iTunes or online at MaximumFun.org.
Huh?
Ooh.
Spell.
Let's come back with a Yahoo answer. This one was, Jesus, this one was sent in by Lisa Holyfield, too. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Can we crushing it, fan of the year.
Can she just have some money?
Yep.
Someone give her some money. This it was asked by Brian, who asks, is it illegal for me to upload a picture of me with a sword to Facebook? I want my default pick to be one of me with the sword I got in eighth grade. If I do not look threatening, is this illegal? Any ins and outs I need to be aware of? P.S. I will look civilized.
Call Guinness. Because it's the first time dude has ever looked civilized.
It's me. I'm wearing a frock. And this is my gentleman's foil. How civil.
I'm looking at the Facebook rules right now about posting pictures. And it says to do it, you have to have a really intense look on your face and be holding the sword somewhere down around your crotch.
You have to have photoshopped fire, like Dragon Ball Z fire, on the sword and possibly in your eyes. And it has to say something above it, like destiny.
And you have to make sure that you've tastefully trimmed your scraggly beard.
If somebody could Photoshop us pictures of us like that, I will make it my favorite.
I want nothing but Dragon Ball Z photoshops of us.
Yeah,
I
don't fire, even swords.
There's fire and beards. Swords, laser beams, tails.
The word maybe he meant civilized, which is to look like Cybill Shepherd.
I like the idea of civilized better, like us in like full like 1930s military regalia with an épée in one hand and a tea sandwich in the other.
Very fancy. Like a gentleman with a sword. What? How, why? Who gave you one in eighth grade?
Who did that to you?
Who did that to you? You're too young for that. You're too little.
You're just a baby.
Unless it was his sensei.
Yeah. His sword sensei.
Oh, you're saying once he had learned all the strokes and all the stabs.
Mm-hmm. What are the cuts? Cut one.
Left. Stab. Leftward cut.
We have it on this show. We take a pretty hard line against people putting things on their Facebook that aren't them, such as their dogs and their babies. And their dead grandmothers. That's the one that's killing me, guys. You gotta stop. But I think that if you are the sort of dude that would put a picture of you with a sword on Facebook, that's probably pretty good.
Oh God, I swear to God, I thought you said sword of dude. Like
what?
The sword of dude.
How much I had no idea what it meant. You on?
I don't know. It's awesome.
Behold the sword of dude. No.
Sword of dude. I'm more interested in this person thinking he's going to get in trouble for uploading a picture of him with a sword to Facebook and then somebody being like, is he fucking threatening me? Whoa! Additional details
in the picture, I am covered in blood.
Oh God, I was looking at my newsfeed and I saw a picture of you with a Final Fantasy replica sword. And I got spooked because I thought you were
put down that Buster sword.
Hey, Skylar, Zuckerberg, you knew this call was coming.
You
fucked up.
What is that? A katana naka? Put that down.
I respect your people. I respect your traditions. You can't put a sword on my book.
I got a call from Spider-Man. He said, I got spooked when I loaded my newsfeed. Saw a picture of his katana. I saw his épée, and I said, nope. I closed the window because I was afraid.
Griffin, you have to take me inside the bit and tell me why Spider-Man is friends with Skylar.
Spider-Man!
Spider-Man is the guy who was his friend in the movie.
You saw, okay, I gotcha.
Spider-Man was his best bud. I like to believe that all films share continuity. Okay. I know you guys see that about me. Shortly after founding Facebook and suing for rights, he was bitten by a spider and became Spider-Man.
Oh, I get it. So that's what spurned him to fight injustice. Zuckerberg cut him out, and he was like, that's it. I'm going to fight villains.
Yeah, that's why he's Ultimate Spider-Man, because he's rich as fuck.
So when he said, you better lawyer up because I'm coming after you, what he meant was, time to start ducking webs.
Yep,
nervous.
Yeah.
Because I got spider powers in here. Spider blood pumping through my veins. Which doesn't sound that intimidating when you say it like that.
No.
You know what is intimidating?
What?
A man with a sword.
That's a real power move.
Spider-Man with a sword.
Do you use Facebook for business or just personal? No, it's pretty much just personal stuff. I haven't got a lot of business traffic through there.
You should see my LinkedIn page. It's there's a lot of, I would say, civilized sword picks in there.
It's a
I'm available for parties.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll spin nunchokus around.
I got a whole bow staff routine worked out. It's pretty sick.
Now, I will be honest. I do not know much about venture capital, but I do have. I own many swords, so
I'm highly. Here's motivated.
A reference letter from my sensei.
I used to own swords, everybody.
I still have swords. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not gonna like take Facebook. It's like, I mean, there's lots of. Okay, I have a crock pot, but if my Facebook picture is me holding a crock pot above my head, like, yes, look at it. This is me. This is me in 2012 with crockpots. All about it. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, putting it in your Facebook picture it defines you. I mean, it is your outside message to the world, right?
Well, I think if you're the kind of person that owns swords, then you're the kind of person that owns swords, and there's no getting around that.
You know, I have a sword, and you guys want to know a secret?
Not.
I mean, okay, great. This is really dicey, but I'm gonna go with yes.
I would never own a gun, but I see nothing wrong with keeping a sword by the bed for protection.
Is this about to get? Are we about to have an argument about the lethality of swords?
No. I'm just saying, like, I see not. I would like to envision a circumstance in which a criminal breaks into my house and has a gun, and I draw a sword.
You're telling me you could more easily stab a stranger with a giant sword than you could shoot a stranger?
Like, you sever their... No,
I'm hoping that
you stab them in the guts, and then you see it. You see everything.
You watch their intestines spill out across your Davenport.
I can do a cool pretty deep lunge, and I feel like it would be really intimidating.
Travis, that's the most fucked up thing you've ever said out loud.
I don't think that's true.
Why don't you just keep a heavy rock next to the bed, fucking you Lord of the Flies psychopath?
I keep that under the couch.
I would just like to, I don't want my kids getting hurt, but I would like the feeling of crushing a man's skull with my bare hands. So I'll just keep a big rock next to my bed.
Now, the floor does open up into a sort of boo-boo box scorpion trap. But it's that, I mean, guns, yuck.
Yeah.
Not for me.
Not for me, but I do have a table that I lay them on, and I saw appendages off until they bleed out on my floor. Travis, you do have to do me a favor, though. If you ever get into this imaginary situation, you gotta tube it for me. I gotta see what happens. Seriously, I will make a whole Bravo series about that night you did that dumb thing.
That's fair.
Yeah, do you, okay, if you have the sword and they are like, they see you, okay, describe that very next.
This is how I picture it going. It's a very slow burn down to their gun, and then they slow burn down to my sword.
Okay.
And then they drop the gun and just start backing away.
Okay.
That's how I hope it pans out.
Why? Why?
Because otherwise they shoot me in the face.
Yeah, right. I mean, no, definitely. I'm pretty well versed in the actual thing that will definitely really happen. I'm kind of curious. I want you to take me sort of inside and why you think they're going to see this.
Well, I also have the true faith that, like, in an emergency situation, I would just immediately be able to have, like, the
Dragon Ball Z fucking ninja superpowers?
Yeah, I just feel like ninja would just come upon me. And I would just move
no
like
no fucking
a, like
bullets
a
would come
cat
up on you. You would be dead.
You think your hope is that maybe the gunman will be superstitious about shooting mildly retarded Amish boys.
I would much rather be shot than stabbed. I'm out of here.
Now, I just want to point out, though, if you were going to get shot by someone robbing your house, wouldn't you want it to be sword in hand?
No!
You don't want to go out like that?
Like a Ren Faire reenactor? No, I don't want to go out like that. I want to go out like a man whose house got robbed with dignity while he in his bedroom.
I want to go out with a wizard wand, because I would stand a better fucking chance than you would with your goddamn sword.
What were his last words? His last words were, presto, I'm a dipshit.
Travis's last words were, my name is Inigo Montoya. You kill... Oh!
we need to turn white.
Oopsies! That was Travis's last word. He was doing the monologue, but then he said oopsies.
Oh, God. He said something about the quickening, and then he bled out.
He was dead as fuck.
He was really dead, and I miss him so much. He was my brother. He was a stupid man, but I loved him very much. He was great with a sword, as long as his enemy was not armed with a gun.
Or any other weapon, because swords are bullshit.
Oh, man. Gotta tube that for me. My house, where I still live with my parents, was recently broken into.
Perfect.
And we had some electronics and jewelry stolen. If only they'd been armed with
with Sir Travis McElroy.
We had a security door installed to deter. Oh God, let me try again. We had a security door installed to deter any further attempts at theft, and I believe my parents find that to be enough. I, however, would prefer to be more proactive and aggressive towards future thieves.
Swords.
So what methods would you suggest for further fortifying my home?
That's katana rack by the bedroom door.
Oh, a katana rack. That's good. Because you're...
It's both stylish and efficient.
You might be cutting him so many times and not being killed for so long that you can wear down the edge on your first katana. So it's
good. What if it's a band of thieves?
Oh, good. Yeah, because you might bury your katana in one of their chests while you're not getting shot.
Oh, what? Hey, can I have that back? No. Well, at least I killed one of you. Oh.
I don't want to distract from my stupidity, but I do have the question as to what is a security door?
Mm. It's like
isn't that like a door?
I mean, yeah, but I think it's like metal, so you can't get through it. There's a retina scanner, I'm pretty sure.
And there's a picture of Travis with a sword on the front of it.
Beware of idiots.
And then it says the words inside, and then there's an arrow pointing to you.
Just wait.
This is inside.
Stabs Ahoy.
Beware of swordsmen.
It says beware of swords at the top, and then at the bottom it says, do you really want this on your conscience? Do you want this?
Come on, he's got enough problems.
He's actually six. He has progeria.
This is my son Jack. He has Jack disease.
He has Jack disease. Thinks he's a knight. His shit is fucked. Please be careful.
It's a weird thing, though. He has a lot of diamonds. So if you're in the market for a cheap one, he's your guy.
Which is probably why you're breaking in. But we'd rather you not.
So, panic room.
Yeah.
Gotta go panic room.
You get a panic room. And don't get a half-assed panic room. That's what I found. No. If you hang a blanket up over your closet, that is not a panic room, I'm afraid.
No, that's a blanket.
That is a tiny closet in which you may very well panic.
If I knew Travis had a sword in the house, no room in my home wouldn't be a panic room. I would constantly be panicking about it.
Oh, I hope he doesn't get it out today.
So are we done here? Have we helped enough for 1 week?
Yeah.
I think so.
I think so, too.
So if Jesus, so thank you so much for listening. Thank you to everyone who's been tweeting about the show. Turbo Toaster, Real Mike Dempsey, Real Nate Miller. There's a lot of real people, which I like. DJ Shanty, World Champ Dan, Infinite Brads, Zek Becker, Ham Doctor's our old friend, Craig C, Jens Dietrich, so many people, Fitzy Bear. And Casey Fitz, who I guess loves us more than her husband now.
Okay.
Which is nice. Fine. Hey. We're used to that.
I think so. Secretly, everybody. In their heart of hearts, every wife and every husband loves us more than their significant other.
It's life. Nothing to feel bad about. But thank you guys so much for tweeting about the show. Just use the MBMM hashtag when you do that. Hey, don't forget that the second My Brother and Me mixtape by our friend Rocky Horror is live. What's the best way of getting that?
I think iTunes, if you search Hell House, it's a podcast on iTunes. Mm-hmm. And it's the February the February episode.
Oh, well, there you go. That's a fine way of getting it. You can also go to myspace.com/RockyHorrorFied to learn more about our friend. I don't know if he's still using that or not, but he's also Rocky Horror on Twitter. He can just find him that way.
You probably just ask him.
Yeah.
RH Club Music. That's his website. RHClubMusic.com. Mm-hmm. So go there and go get the second My Brother and Me mixtape and support him. Support all the other Maximum Fun podcasts. Please do us a favor, guys. This week, go to Maximum Fun Forum and just talk about us. Talk about this episode. We'll put a thread up. And I promise this week I will be better about being in there and talking to people. So if you want to come by, tell us what you thought, talk. We will all go in there and chat people up this week. So find that thread and comment on it, because the other guys get... They talk about their show and...
Yeah.
They're so popular.
They're more powerful than ever. And I just want a little taste of that.
Make sure that whatever you do, you go to stacksoap.com and you check it out.
Buy some
Stacksoap. And you tell them we sent you.
I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, Into Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed. I saw a lot of people on Twitter saying they bought it. And that made me smile a little bit in my heart. Because it's a good album, it's a great band, and sometimes I just like to think that I'm sitting under the same big white moon, just listening to the same tunes as somebody else in the world, you know?
Yeah,
that's just good stuff. Forming a lunar music connection.
That's beautiful, Griffin. Yeah, you're a beautiful man.
Mm-hmm. So that's it. That's our show.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Yeah. Find somebody special you love and just squeeze them.
Squeeze them.
And keep listening. Go subscribe on iTunes and rate us and retweet the tweet about this show and put it on your Facebook if you want. I don't know. Something. But thanks for listening. We love you.
Thanks, everyone. This final Yahoo was sent in by Golly Ayali. Thank you, Golly. It's by Yahoo Answers user Turn, who asks, would Christianity be as popular as it is today if the Jesus was depicted more like Danny DeVito?
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This is when my brother, and me, kiss your dad.
Square on the lips.
Keep your heart, three stacks. Keep your heart. Hey, keep your heart, three stacks. Keep your heart. Man, these girls are smart, three stacks. These girls are smart. Play your part.